Welcome to the Kind of Funny Games Daily for Wednesday, January 9th, 2019. I'm one of your hosts, Jared Petty, alongside the Rogue One, Mr. Gary Whitta.
Good morning.
Good morning to you.
The first day of the new morning KFGD regime.
The regime, indeed. Now, you came in, Gary, and you were, I would say, inconsolable at the news that we are now limited. We were a force of nature.
They put the cuffs on us.
It was very, very rare that Jared and Gary hosted together. It was a special event in the hearts of many.
And past tense being the appropriate form here, because it's no longer special.
Yeah, and why is that?
Well, because we're limited to, we've got this 55-minute hard out.
I got that hard out because
I came in this morning and said, well, Gary, but, you know, I know they're kind of funny best friends. They love you when you and Jared go on and run long and have these kind of gonzo shows that have no definite out point.
Yeah.
But all that's over.
One might say they never end. They just bleed on into the next one.
But
that
now
is all over, because now those KFAF motherfuckers.
Yes.
Are out there with their premiere.
So that's the next show on after us.
Yeah.
And that starts promptly at 11.
Yeah.
And it takes them... Well, I'm going to stick around because I want to see how they do it. I can see all the stuff that's ready to go here for the set change.
Yeah.
They need 5 minutes, they say, for the set change.
Right.
So no matter what happens, we have a little clock here that tells us how long we've run.
Yeah.
This episode, even with all our gonzo stylings, will, for it must, last only 55 minutes. Now, 55 minutes, no matter what fascinating conversational thread we might still be picking away at, we are done. The shepherd's crook is going to come on
and just pull us right off,
and yank like us a Looney right Tune.
Right off like Daffy Duck.
Yeah.
I kind of hope that happens. I like the idea that Barrett Courtney comes from off stage and just hooks you by the neck and pulls you off.
He might have to, because this is going to be. I mean, prior to today, have we ever done a show that respected time?
You and I know. No.
We better get used to it, because this is the new regime.
Well, I suppose
the new kind of funny 4.0 regime has throttled us.
It has.
It's censored us.
Stifled our creativity.
It has stymied us.
Yeah, indeed.
Well, let's see what kind of gold we can spin in the remaining 52 minutes.
Let's see what we can pull off here. Ladies and gentlemen, in case you didn't know, this is Kind of Funny Games Daily, where each and every day we give you the video game news that you want to hear about. It's Kind of Funny's fourth anniversary. We're celebrating with a good old-fashioned fundraiser all through the month of January. Head over to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames to see all the cool new shows we're adding. And we are adding a lot of new shows, including Mine, Debatable, starting tomorrow, and KFAF premiering just after this episode. There's a world tour that we're planning, and there's all kinds of other stuff happening. If you want to be a part of what's going on, Patreon memberships are available at the bronze level at patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, and a bronze member Patreon gets you all kinds of things, not the least of which the ability to write into this show. So if you want to write in and give us letters, give us feedback, get read out on the show, head over to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, and let us know what you're thinking. Also, today we're brought to you by Quip and Hims, but I'll get to that later, because it's time for what is and forever will be Gary Whitta raising his finger to cut me off.
Just real quick, I must give a shout out to the person who sent me this t-shirt.
Ah!
For those who are listening along on the audio podcast, it says breaking news, I don't care, a reference to a previous Jared and Gary episode in which I famously didn't care about various different things.
Indeed, 49 different things.
Yeah, 49 times I didn't care about something.
Well, occasionally you did care.
And that counted as well. There was a care or not care moment that happened.
It was like the Care Bears movie too. Care a lot. We care a lot.
And like the Faith No More song as well, we care a lot.
Indeed, there we are.
So I think it's Aaron Trahan or Trahan, I'm not sure, it's T-R-A-H-A-N.
Okay.
Sent me this t-shirt, @GameJumperX on Twitter. Thank you, Aaron, for sending me the shirt. I very much appreciate it. That's what the best friends are all about.
Do you care?
About this? Yes, I care very much.
Excellent. All right. We don't want to run down that rabbit hole. We don't want to kill that.
No, that had its day in the sun, and it's time to move on to
I think
you don't do the same gag twice. You do the next gag.
You've never been on the internet, have you?
No, I guess not.
Yeah, that's all about doing
the
same gag twice.
You do the meme until it's done to death.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're 5 minutes in, and the news hasn't begun, so it's time for what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. 7 items on the Roper Report today.
The Baker's Dozen!
That's way more than usual.
I know. We're gonna have to
race through these.
We're gonna have to be disciplined.
Okay, let's do it.
We can do it.
I got my eye on the clock right here. 5 minutes, 16 seconds. We're at.
All right. Story number one: The Division 2 skips Steam as Ubisoft, ubiquitous software, chooses Epic Games Store. This by Matt Kim at US Gamer. Holy crap. Ubisoft and Epic Games are partnering to release The Division 2 on the Epic Games Store. Pre-orders for the Ultimate, Gold, and Standard editions of The Division 2 on PC are already available on Epic's online storefront and will include access to the game's upcoming private beta. The press release says that any pre-orders previously placed elsewhere will still be honored, which seems to suggest that outside the Ubisoft store, The Division 2 will only be available on Epic Games Store going forward. We reached out to Ubisoft to ask whether this means The Division 2 will be skipping Steam, and a Ubisoft representative responded, "We currently have no plans on releasing Tom Clancy's The Division 2 on Steam." Ubisoft also added it'll work to integrate key components of Ubisoft Uplay and Epic Online services to provide gamers with both ecosystems with more seamless social features and interoperability. Ubisoft will also be working with Epic Games to partner on additional select titles to be announced during the coming year. Ubisoft is the latest major game developer to skip Steam for a major video game launch. Companies like Bethesda and Activision have already skipped Steam when releasing their most recent major releases. Bethesda sold Fallout 76 exclusively on the Bethesda store. Activision released Call of Duty Black Ops 4 on Blizzard's Battle.net. One of the reasons why big companies are leaving Steam is because of Valve's 30% cut on general revenue generated from Steam sales. When Epic Games announced its competing online store, the company detailed its more competitive 88-12 revenue sharing model, as opposed to Steam's 70-30. Epic Games CEO Tim Sweeney specifically cited this competitive revenue model in his statement following the news, as longtime fans and partners of Ubisoft were thrilled to bring a range of awesome Ubisoft games to the Epic Games story, he said. Although Steam recently announced some changes to its revenue sharing model, that to see developers take a 75-25 split on revenue over $10 million in sales and an 80-20 split on revenue past $50 million, that's still not as much as what Epic is offering developers as a baseline. Games on the Epic Games store will see even more revenue if they develop their titles using Epic's Unreal Engine. Wesley LeBlanc, friend of the show, asked this question, Gary Whitta. With The Division 2 skipping Steam to release on the Epic Games Store, is this where a true contender rises up? Is this a sign that Epic could overtake Steam or at least make a significant crack in the PC games marketplace? Gary Whitta, your thoughts?
They've come a long way since Jazz Jackrabbit, haven't they, Epic?
Indeed they have, although Jazz Jackrabbit, a fine title.
It's a great title. Yeah. I wish they would remaster it. They brought back Crash and Spyro and all these other characters.
Well, just tweet at Cliff. I'm sure he'll do it.
Do you think he would do it?
Probably.
Cliff's out of games now, though.
Yeah, but, you know.
Jazz is maybe the only thing that could bring him back.
Yeah.
Jazz hands.
He'd be like, Jack is back.
Jack is back, baby.
Exactly.
Oh, it's just ready made to happen.
They
have come a long way, and Epic is obviously massive. I don't know if it was covered on a previous Games Daily, but Epic co-founder Tim Sweeney, who was quoted in your story there, just showed up on the Forbes Billionaire Index for the first time with a fortune estimated to be in the area of $7 billion, more even than Gabe Newell. So in the personal big dick stakes, Tim, Epic's already beating Valve because Tim's got more money than Gabe.
And that's how it all boils down.
That's all that matters.
Okay. What's Gary Whitta on the billionaire index?
Oh, very low.
Very low on the billionaire. Okay.
Very low.
That's too bad.
I'm like 0.00004 of a billionaire.
Okay. That's still probably a lot of money.
I don't know. That's probably about $4,000 or okay, something.
That sounds about right. Definitely.
Yes. Well, this doesn't bother me because I'm probably not going to play The Division 2 on PC. I'm probably going to play it on Xbox One X. But this is, you know, from the point of view of an industry commentator, which is what we are as we sit here for the next 46 minutes.
Okay.
It does seem to me, I think that in the far future, when we're all sitting around the ruined embers of civilization, and we're kind of warming our hands by the fire.
Yeah.
And we're dressed in our post-apocalyptic rags.
Okay. Hockey armor.
And some mutated child says to you or me, tell me the story of the epic Steam Wars that brought us here today.
Yeah.
Oh, wise man. Oh, wise elder of the before four times.
Are you writing a sequel to the Book of Eli right here?
I don't get credit for the before four times. That was from Rick and Morty.
But, okay.
but I'll say, well, it all started there. We first saw the first cracks in the Steam edifice.
Yeah.
When Fallout 76 went to Bethesda's own store.
Yep. And that worked out real well.
Yeah. Right. And Call of Duty Black Ops went to Activision's own store. That did work out really well.
Mm-hmm.
But this was perhaps the first real shot fired across Steam's bow, because this is the first time that a third-party developer, because this is not Ubisoft putting it, it's not like there's an Ubisoft store, there isn't, where you can go buy their games. They made a decision to defect from Steam and go to this rival third-party store. And it's easy to understand why. When you're selling, you know, when you're looking at a game like Division 2, which is going to sell millions of copies and there's going to be hundreds of millions of dollars in play, you would much rather have 88% of those hundreds of millions of dollars than merely 70, 75, 80.
Small fact check, by the way. I believe there is, in fact, a Ubisoft store.
Well, there is, but
sorry,
it's not the, it's not the sort of it's not like an EA Origin or a Battle.net or a Steam where you can go and buy like scads and scads of different things, right? Yes, you can go, you can buy your games directly from Ubisoft, but this is clearly, I think, a demarcation point where one of the big three or four developers has said, fuck you, Steam.
And thrown their weight behind.
Yeah, thrown their weight behind provider. A rival store that isn't their own. And that's a big deal.
Yeah, so I finally got my broken graphics card back from RMA last night, fairly late, plugged it in, and my new computer is finally working. Very excited. My new gaming PC. And one of the very first things I did was go and download the Epic Store. Go put that app on the PC for a couple of reasons. One, because I'm very interested in supporting that revenue model.
Okay.
And two, because you get a free copy of Super Meat Boy if you do it before tomorrow.
Oh, nice.
So, you know, why not, right? By the way, so yeah, January 10th, free copies of Super Meat Boy up till then. Then it switches over to free copies of What Remains of Edith Finch, an excellent game.
So what does the Epic, I haven't had a look at it, what does the Epic Game Store look like right now? Is there a lot of selection? It's not going to be anything like Steam, because Steam's a very, very mature platform.
Yeah, I mean, you get Fortnite, and you get quite a few interesting things, including a few exclusives at this point, and you get free games, and it's growing. It's like Steam when Steam launched, but much less buggy, has been my impression of it so far.
It prompts the question, why not just do it? Why didn't they just do it on their own Ubisoft store? Why not just create their own platform? Activision's done it. EA's done it.
I think because
Bethesda's done it.
There's something to be said for... Okay, so hear me out here. One of the reasons people go to Walmart in small towns across America to this day in the age of Amazon is that if you go to Walmart, everything's just there.
Yes.
Everything you could ever want for daily household life, there's some version of it there.
We went to a Walmart just before the holidays, and we go to Target a lot.
Yeah.
And Target has a little bit of everything, but Walmart has a lot of everything.
Yeah.
And it's only when you go to a Walmart that you realize, holy shit, this is a superstore.
Yeah.
This is as big as it gets.
Yeah.
It's massive. They have everything.
So I could go, if I need tires, I could go to a tire store. And that, let's say that's a Ubisoft store.
Yeah.
But if I need Ubisoft knows that I might be shopping for bread, you know, and we'll say bread's an Activision game. But if I go to Walmart to look for it, I may decide I need tires while I'm there. So there's a benefit to having their own store.
Don't forget how many people are coming through that front end just because they're playing Fortnite.
Yeah. And that's
huge.
That's huge. And I think so Ubi's like, hey, people are playing Fortnite. They may see a Ubi game and buy it.
Another
shooter.
People
are coming in to buy an Activision game, but they may see a Ubi game and buy it. People are coming in for a different purpose, but they see our games. That's why you want to have your games in a distributed marketplace as well as your own store.
So do you think this is the beginning of Epic, the Epic Games Store? Are we seeing the beginning of Store Wars?
Store Wars? Store Wars Rogue One.
Do you like that?
Yeah, that writes itself.
Rogue One, a Store Wars story.
There we go. Well done. You know what? I'm stopping it right there.
Well, they made the clock bigger.
Yeah,
so
they
that
did.
We can
make, they did
that,
make the clock
so
bigger.
So that we definitely don't mess the up. 31 minutes left. We got to hurry up. Six more stories.
The true answer to the story, of course, is to go to my favorite download store, which is GOG. And buy your stuff
games
there, because if you go to Good Old Games, you go to GOG, DRM free. That's right. Shout out to GOG. Great stuff there.
We like that.
Yeah, and it's not just old games.
I'm a little bit worried that we're already behind the eight ball here.
You know
on
what?
The, on
we're,
the clock, Jared.
We're going to be fine. This was definitely the heaviest story of all.
Okay.
So let's move on
to
number two. This one by Joey Scribbs at the Imagine Games Network. Black Mirror Bandersnatch script was a game in itself.
Does IGN even stand? Does it even stand for Imagine Games? If you ask people what IGN stands for,
they'll say nothing. Yeah,
which is not. It's not to say they have no principles.
Yeah.
I'm saying the letters don't stand for anything.
I'm reasonably sure Pear has no principles.
But it started as the Imagine Games Network. Yeah. That's, if the IGN stands for anything, it stands for that.
Yeah, it doesn't anymore, I think for legal reasons, but I like to say it anyway. It's pretty common to hear actors talking about the first time they read a script for a project, but you generally don't hear about them playing one. Black Mirror's one-off interactive episode, Bandersnatch, required a different approach for its actors to get acquainted with its multi-limb script. Creator Charlie Brooker turned it into a Twine game. The script was very, very confusing to read in physical form, said Colin Rittman actor Will Poulter to IGN. But I later got the opportunity to read it in sort of Twine document format. It's a kind of software that allows you to effectively play the script and experience it in a similar way to how a viewer experiences it. And that helped to make sense of it. Gary, are you familiar with Twine?
No, but I wish I'd had something like that when I was working on The Walking Dead. It would have made it much easier.
The Telltale,
I guess you say everything now about Telltale in the past tense, as sad as that is. But they used to have this proprietary tool that looked like a flowchart.
Mm-hmm.
So that when you were writing the script, you could see the different branching paths that the story could take. But there wasn't a version of it where you could kind of like play... You couldn't do like a dress rehearsal playthrough of it. You could follow it kind of with your finger, but this seems like a really, really interesting piece of software that lets you actually make the choices and see how the story branches in real time.
Twine is awesome because it provides that flowchart, but you can hop in at any moment and start playing in any direction. It's primarily designed around text-based games and storytelling games. I've used it. Actually, if you go to IGN right now and look for the Jared Petty Favorites Games list, I wrote a Twine game. Instead of writing a list, I wrote a game where you travel through a museum and see all my favorite games.
That's really cool.
And I wrote it in Twine because Twine's fun. And I think probably the most famous game that I know of that's made up in Twine is Depression Quest. I don't know if you've ever played that.
No, but I've heard of it.
Yeah, Depression Quest was written in Twine because it publishes to HTML very easily. So I just thought this was cool because you've written games, and you've written specifically story-heavy games, and I kind of wanted your input.
Yeah, well, did you watch Stroke play Bandersnatch yet?
No.
Neither have I, but I want to play it because it does seem interesting, and it's taking television. This is the sort of thing that only Netflix and the new over-the-top streaming platforms can do. You couldn't do this on Channel 4 where Black Mirror originated. You know, you've got to be able to press the button.
People are kind of funny, like to pretend I know something about game development because I occasionally fool around with like game creator stuff.
You keep saying you're making games and stuff.
Huh? Yeah, it's all a lie. Everything's made up. All of it's made up. But yeah, Twine is one of the first places that I made a game. Inform and Twine are great places to learn more about making more complicated games. Like even if you're going to make like a graphical action game, you can sort of learn things in Twine that'll make you a better game creator.
I got to check it out. I think we're going to see more Bandersnatch type stuff. I think you're going to see particularly Netflix and other companies now getting into this space and doing kind of choose your own adventure storytelling with television and film.
Definitely. Did you see Kevin tap on his watch?
Did I see what?
He raised his watch and tapped it.
Who did? Pointing
out we're not on pick Kevin.
Oh, are you telling us that we're running slowly?
I think he's worried.
I'm just keeping you aware that it's
18 minutes, 45 seconds.
Minutes yeah.
What would be more helpful if this was a countdown? Counting down to when we run out of time.
We can count up. We don't have to do that. We can count up.
It's right there where it says countdown.
We have the ability
Kevin.
To do math in our heads, Gary. We can do this. No, now I'm just confused.
Oh, that's counting down something else.
No, good Lord. No, don't change it to a countdown.
Is that going
to
make you even more nervous?
Yes. I'm terrified. I can't play Majora's.
What's gonna happen at the end,
Jared? I can't play Majora's
Come
Mask.
Come the red wire.
Majora's no, Mask blow. Is too stressful for me because of the countdown. I can't do it.
Let's move on to the next story.
Number 3. Switch Online this month. This one's going to be very quick. From Nintendo of America's Twitter account, Zelda 2, The Adventure of Link, and Blaster Master are coming to Nintendo Switch Online, the Nintendo Entertainment System. Set up your membership now and start playing on January 16th. So two new games come into that monthly streaming service that's part of Nintendo Online.
Zelda 2, I'm obviously familiar with. Blaster Master, I don't know.
Okay, Blaster Master. Oh, okay, you'll like it. It's good. It's really good.
Okay.
Blaster Master is an exploratory platformer With great side-scrolling segments and kind of crappy top-down segments, but still totally worth your time. It's Sunsoft, great music, really, really pretty game, lots of fun, very engaging, varied gameplay. And it was remade for Switch. Actually, if you don't want to play the old version, the remake by Inti Creates that's on Switch was almost a launch title.
Interesting.
It's fantastic.
Interesting.
Yep. So that's a good
and
one.
Zelda 2 was a controversial, that's a very polarizing Zelda, isn't it?
It is.
Some people love it and some people hate it.
It is my, I do not think it is the best Zelda, but it is my favorite Zelda.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
It's ridiculously hard. But not unfairly.
Have you ever beat Shadow Link?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you've done it. Okay.
It's the first appearance of Shadow Link.
Oh,
the
it's ticking down. Look at this. Beep.
Are you sure?
Now it's like we're on an episode of 24.
Are you sure that's right?
Well, look, that's what he's put up.
No, I put it at 11 instead of 11.
Yeah, that looks wrong.
Okay, well, chill out, man.
I was just worried. There's too much time on it.
Is there too much time?
We are wasting more time talking about this clock. We could be an item down the rope.
Worrying about how much time we have is killing us way more than
5 minutes.
All right, there we go.
Okay, 33 minutes.
Now it's just stripping time. Okay, Zelda 2, though. Yeah,
I really want to see if we can stick this landing. That if we get to the natural end of the show, right as that ticks out, I'll be very impressed.
People love to call something the Dark Souls or something, but Zelda 2 actually has real Dark Souls parallels. It is a game with a fairly limited number of mechanics that you have to master and use in different ways in every situation. It's always hard, but very rarely unfair. There's a couple of the puzzles are kind of obtuse for modern games. So just use a guide to like find the hidden town or to find the hidden mirror.
What was called a Nintendo Power game back in the day. Like you needed the Nintendo Power game.
I figured it out.
Oh, you did?
I played a lot of adventure
games.
You're
smarter than the average bear.
Indeed. I got a little, anyway. But the biggest news from that, before we move on, in addition to those two games, Gary, coming in Japan.
Ooh.
Joy Mecha Fight, a game that I have often lauded on Kinda Funny, is coming
to the
Japanese Switch app.
Yeah.
Yep, Joy Mecha Fight. And you can get the Japanese Switch app on your American Switch. You can do that.
Can you?
There's a way to do it.
You have to do some hocus pocus?
It doesn't require too much hocus pocus even. It can be done, which means you can buy and play Joy Mecha Fight, which does not require any knowledge of English or Japanese to play.
Okay.
And you're going to play it. You're going to be like, here's 8 fighters. What's you're talking about? And then you're going to unlock all 36 fighters and go, how in the world did this game happen in the early 90s? And it'll be wonderful.
So you described this earlier as kind of like a precursor to Smash Brothers.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's kind of a precursor to Smash Brothers. It's a two-button fighting game on an NES platform.
Maybe I'll look into it. I've been playing a lot of Gradius on the NES app.
Oh my goodness, that Nemesis.
Yeah, well, so when I was a kid, it was Nemesis.
Right.
Because in Europe and other territories, it was known as Nemesis.
Exactly, yeah.
But here in the U.S., I've learned to refer to it as Gradius.
I love that Gradius. That's the good stuff there. All right, number 4 on the Roper Report. Fantastic Four in Spider-Man. This by Johnny D at IGN. During Marvel's Fantastic Four Week live kickoff live stream, the comic publisher teased something related to Marvel's first family is coming to Marvel's Spider-Man on PS4. Speaking on the live stream, Marvel's Ryan Pentecost said something fantastic is coming to Marvel's Spider-Man real soon. I can't tell you anything more right now, but you want to keep an eye out for this. It's going to be amazing and fantastic. He did not elaborate further on the stream. Gary, what do you think this is?
I mean, when I first saw it, I thought, okay, something fantastic's coming. But then you think when someone from Marvel uses the word fantastic as opposed to any other word,
you've
got
to
think, well, what does this mean?
Yeah, amazing and fantastic.
Amazing, obviously, is a word we associate with Spider-Man.
Right.
Fantastic is a word that we associate with the Fantastic Four.
And Spider-Man is a character often associated with
I'm
the
just
Fantastic
excited
Four.
That this means that there's going to be more DLC coming. And one of the things that I'm very excited about is the idea of them opening up the Marvel Universe a little bit into Spider-Man PS4.
Do you think it's DLC?
What else would it be?
I think it's probably
Spider-Man
a costume
2?
Drop.
You think just...
yeah, one of the famous...
No, I'd be disappointed if it was just a costume.
I think it's costume.
One of the famous Spider-Man costumes is like him wearing a Fantastic Four garb with like a paper bag.
Paper
on
bag
his head.
On his head, right?
Yeah.
Bear, why are you on me? Scoot over.
Does Barrett not have his own mic?
No.
We got to fix that. Yeah, we need Barrett mic.
Don't. We don't.
I think if it's just suits, people are going to be underwhelmed. I would hope that it would be some DLC that brings maybe some Fantastic Four characters into the mix, into the storyline. One of the things I love about Spider-Man the game is that how it has all those little references to the broader,
yeah,
like, you know, the Sanctum Sanctorum is there, the Avengers Tower is there. You know, there's a sense that the larger Marvel universe is out there.
Yep.
Right? And they make references to other characters all the time.
Well, I mean, we've got, so in video games and especially in film, you know, you go to film, we've got the Avengers, we've got the MCU. Over there, we got the X-Men doing their own thing. We got the mutant universe. They're all kind of, the Fantastic Four, the first family of Marvel Comics.
Yes.
Has not succeeded particularly well in any medium outside of comics.
That's because Fox beat
them. They deserve
that. May change now that Kevin Feige and the like are getting it back, and they'll be able to kind of put their own spin on it.
Pretty exciting, yeah. So I'd love to see characters, but I'm going to guess this is the costume.
I'm hoping it's not just a costume. No, I would be disappointed.
Number five, Assassin's Creed Odyssey. Everything new coming to the game in January. This by Eddie McCook of GameSpot. All right, this is a long, confusing read, so I'm just going to go straight through
it. But my wife, wherever she is listening to this right now, just sat up.
Yeah, okay.
Because she loves her Assassin's Creed Odyssey DLC.
All kinds of stuff is coming. The good news is it's all, like, stuff coming. So I said it's confusing because there's a lot of different options here, but that's good because it's a big old game that's getting even bigger. Starting off, the second episode of the Legacy of the First Blade DLC, Shadow Heritage, will launch January 15th in this new expansion. Players will investigate a blockade initiated by the Order of the Ancients around the port of Akia. The description goes on, you'll discover a group of stranded citizens whose lives are being threatened by a fierce naval commander, the Tempest. Who's in charge of the blockade? Steal the Tempest's top secret weapon, help the citizens escape, destroy the blockade once and all for all with your ship. An epic maritime battle awaits you in the Aegean Sea. To play Shadow Heritage, you need to finish the first episode, Hunted, and complete the Naxos questline from Chapter 7 of the main story and hit level 28 or higher. The level of the First Play DLC is paid, but Odyssey's Lost Tales of Greece DLC is free. It continues in January with the Daughters of Lalia expansion. In the Daughters of Lalilolu content, you'll travel to a village left defenseless after all the men left for battle. Players will train the townspeople to prepare them for incoming danger. The other new Lost Tales of Greece content is called Poet's Legacy. It introduces players to Greece's most scandalous poet. Additionally, Odyssey is adding a new mythical creature, a cyclops named Bright One. Players who defeat the beast will get his weapon, the Hammer of Hephaestus. You can also find the Bright One on Argus. This is a challenging quest, so Ubisoft recommends that you're at least level 50 before facing off. Additionally, Ubisoft club members can bring Aya from Assassin's Creed Origins onto their ship in January. Well, a bunch of new items are coming to the game as well. The Dionysus character pack adds a new gear set, a big cow mount, and a legendary dagger. The Athena pack is also on the way. It adds some snazzy new gear in addition to all the new content. Ubisoft said it continues to work on more title updates for Odyssey that add new features. One of these is new mercenary tiers. Two more are coming to the game. They should be extra challenging. Defeat them and you'll earn new benefits worthy of a demigod. Additionally, a new vendor is coming to Odyssey that will allow players to view and purchase new engravings, upgrade them, and perform the engravings themselves on gear they already own. The new shop, Hephaestus's Workshop, is located in the Mayan Cave in the Malus region. And finally, Ubisoft is addressing enemy scaling, thank God. With the new title update on January 10th, players can select an enemy scaling system that suits their playstyle. A big old game getting bigger.
So Ubisoft weren't kidding when they said they were going to be really supporting this game with DLC. It sounds like this is the latest wave of that.
Yeah. What do you think, Gary? Your wife's playing a lot of Odyssey.
She loves Assassin's Creed Odyssey. She's playing her way through Assassin's Creed Origins as well right now. But Odyssey is I think the one that she likes a little better, and she's already played all the DLC that's currently been released, the mm-hmm. Lost Tales of Greece, the First Blade stuff. So she'll be excited about more content. They're doing this in lieu of making a whole new Assassin's Creed game, which I'm sure is still coming, which is now further down the pike. But Ubisoft are making a pretty big bet that people want to continue to play Assassin's Creed Odyssey and have new content there, then move on to the next Assassin's Creed game. Okay. And certainly cheaper, I'm sure, to develop more assets and more storylines for a game that's already baked mm-hmm. than it is to bake a whole new cake from scratch.
Absolutely, yeah. Game. And they kind of are just leaning... Odyssey has already stuff to do, the game. and they're just adding more to do, and it's what the people who love the game love. I commit, this is a great way to do DLC. I think it's exciting. Number six, PlayStation to acquire wise developer Audio Connect. Tools will remain platform neutral. This by Giuseppe Nelva of Big Twinfinite. Today, Sony Interactive Entertainment announced it will acquire Montreal-based audio solution studio Audio Connect. Audio Kinetic, pardon me. Thank you, Gary, for correcting that. The agreement is definitive, and the deal will be closed January 31st, 2019. Audio Kinetic is best known for its middleware Wise. I don't know how to pronounce it. I've only ever read it.
Wise.
Used in plenty of popular games like Witcher 3 Wild Hunt, Hitman 2, AC Odyssey, Marvel Spider-Man, Shadow of the Tomb Raider, Detroit Become Human, God of War, Monster Hunter World, many, many more. While the acquisition is said to let Sony's gaming arm tap into Audio Kinect's vast audio engineering expertise, adding significant value to the PlayStation ecosystem, we also hear that Audio Kinect will continue to operate independently, licensing its multi-platform audio tools and middleware to developers in established and growth markets. That means the middleware will still be available by developers on competing platforms like Xbox and Switch. Gary, your thoughts?
Don't care.
Gary does not care. Gary doesn't care about this.
Why is that one even in the lineup? That's like very inside baseball trade kind of story. Is this,
the
gamer's going to care?
Because of middleware.
Okay.
And something that doesn't get talked about very much in this industry. The backbone.
Because it's boring.
Well, no, it's not boring. You don't have a riveting discussion on Havoc physics.
I don't think there's one to be had.
Yeah, you don't want to talk about the power of Unreal or Unity.
Well, those things can be interesting, but do we really care about Sony? I mean, this is a business story, isn't it? Sony has acquired a middleware company.
It's a business story right now, but Sony...
How will this affect my gameplay, my gaming experience in
right
my living room?
I don't know. 5 years from now, I'm wondering.
Well, we'll see.
I'm asking you. But you don't seem to have a lot to say about this.
Don't care, and we're on the clock. Let's
you know
move
what?
On.
Gary doesn't care. So we're moving on. I'll have to have my riveting middleware discussion with somebody, because middleware is...
I can't wear this t-shirt and not care about
making the
thing.
Argument that the tools that are used to build games, because games are so ridiculously complex now. Anytime somebody acquires a stake in a tool maker, I think it's significant. I mean, you look at first parties and just how invested they can become sometimes in the tools they create, to the point sometimes of their own detriment or third parties. Think about how long Telltale clung to the husk of their antiquated and frustrating
bad
engine.
Tools, yeah.
Yeah, tools can really affect the games we play, and that's why I cared about this story.
Okay, well, I'm glad one of us does.
Yeah. Moving on, number seven, God of War DLC was just too big. This by Mike Williams of US Gamer. Really, I'm only in here for the navel gazing. God of War came out in 2018 with a slew of Game of the Year nominations and awards. Surprisingly, it was released by Sony Interactive Entertainment as a single, complete experience. Players got the main campaign, additional hardcore challenges, while further updates only added new features like photo mode and New Game Plus. God of War never received downloadable gameplay content like Sony's other success, Marvel Spider-Man. According to God of War director Corey Barlog, that's because what he was planning would have been too big for simple DLC. It would end up being its own thing, rightfully so. Everybody said to me, dude, this is crazy. This isn't DLC. It's a little too big. Barlog said on the Game Over Greggy show.
Breaking news on the Game Over Greggy show.
Look at that. Look at that breaking news. Yeah. Barlog added that the plan would have been too ambitious and potentially enough to become a standalone game. He compared his concept to The Last of Us Left Behind or Uncharted Lost Legacy, both planned DLC for Naughty Dog titles that were eventually blown out into full releases. Instead, God of War stood out for being a complete release. So that's kind of a neat little bit
there. So we'll probably never see God of War DLC, will we?
I'm sure we'll see
a God of War next game.
Mm-hmm.
It seems weird to call it God of War 2,
mm-hmm,
because there's already a God of War 2. There was already a God of War.
Well, could they be Gods of War?
Gods of War?
God of
God
Wars?
Of Wars.
God of
Gods
Wars?
Of Wars.
Yeah, Gods
God
of War.
God
to
War.
God to War. To God to War by Barrett Courtney. That's right.
There you go.
I'm just going to come out here and say it. Corey Barlog gives the impression of being a really nice guy. You sit down and you talk with him, and he's just like real chill and fun. He's all like, I'm going to tell a sweet and sentimental story about my life and my thoughts. And coward, make the DLC. We want it.
Woo!
That's right. Channeling a little Greg Miller there. Yeah. We don't really want it, actually. I'm really glad they chose not to. I think God of War is perfect on its own, and adding anything to it, you're pretty much creating a Lord of the
Rings. But don't you want more God of War?
No, I think you're creating... Yeah, like once Frodo and Sam go over the sea, I don't need any more Lord of the Rings, you know?
Like, yeah, that's fair enough.
Yeah. And Sam does go over the sea after Eleanor dies, or after Rose dies.
Which is ridiculous.
What? Why, Sam?
That he goes to live in an eternal land?
After Rose dies?
Leaving his, like, this sucks.
No, why? What's wrong with that?
He's a bad partner.
She's dead.
Yeah.
Do they not believe in an afterlife?
They do, but it's not nearly as bad. If you cross the sea, you're not necessarily cut off. There's the Halls of Manwas to deal with, and there's this whole, you know what, we're going to do Silmarillion some other time, but they are not separated forever just because he crosses the sea.
19 minutes to go.
All right, there we go. Gary, Lord of the Rings is a book. It's not a video game.
And it sucks.
But it is a video.
Well, it has been video games.
It has been several video games.
It's been a bunch of video games.
It's been all things.
But if we want to talk about video games that are coming out tomorrow, where would we go? Or today. Sorry, not tomorrow. I don't know. I don't know what the heck we're talking about. We got 18 minutes.
Shadow Mordor is pretty sick. That's pretty dope.
Yeah, there's several good Lord of the Rings
video games.
There's that old FPS that was pretty good. There's a few others.
I got to say, before I read this, is the worst list I've had the privilege of introducing on this show in all the time that I've done it. The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily show hosts each and every weekday. All right, let's get into this amazing list.
Jared, there's music involved.
Oh, right.
Yeah. I didn't forget, Kevin.
Yeah.
I didn't.
Yeah, you did. Just admit it. It's fine.
I didn't forget.
He didn't forget. He just didn't want to do it.
I know. I love doing it.
Oh.
No.
So, what's out today? Well, you want me to say it?
I do.
Megalith VR, and that's it.
Okay, there we go. That's what's out today. They've got the market cornered. Megalith VR on PlayStation 4.
The new dates part is exciting, though.
Yeah, what's going on with the new dates?
Well, they've announced the date for Yoshi's Crafted World.
They have indeed. From the NOA Twitter, Yoshi is back. Set off together when Yoshi's Crafted World launches exclusively for Nintendo Switch on March 29th. You gonna play that?
Oh yeah, because we loved Woolly World.
Yeah, I love
Woolly House.
Did you play Epic Yarn?
Can't remember, but we definitely played Woolly World a lot, and we liked it. And this is the successor to that.
I liked Woolly World. I liked Epic Yarn even more. Anytime they're stitching things together with Nintendo characters,
it's
on board.
A delightful art style that they have in those games. I love it.
Just a reminder here at Deals of the Day, go to the Epic Store right now on your PC and get Super Meat Boy. It is a game that was consistently rated a 9 out of 10 or above that, frankly, were it coming out now in an age where we're more used to giving indie games high ratings, would have been a 10 out of 10 at most outlets. I think that's fair to say. An absolutely perfect platformer, and you can have it completely for free right now in Epic. Also, keep your eyes out for Edith Finch, free next week, which is I don't have enough nice things to say about what remains of Edith Finch. Today, Reader Mail is brought to you by two delightful sponsors. First off, Quip. The new year means new resolutions. We've got one you're working on twice every day. It's your oral health with a Quip electric toothbrush. Sticking to good habits is simple. The guiding features are a built-in support system for better brushing. Nick stole the office's Quip toothbrush before I could get my hands on it. Why? Because he didn't know that he should be brushing 2 minutes every time, and he found out, and now his teeth are bright and shiny. Quip's built-in 2-minute timer pulses every 30 seconds to remind you when to switch sides and help you clean your whole mouth evenly. Do you like an electric toothbrush, Gary?
I do. I have a different brand, but yeah, I'm not going to mention it here because I don't want to mess up your advertising.
No, that's all right.
But yes, and it has the same thing. It reminds you, it buzzes every 30 seconds to remind you to kind of clean a different quadrant of your mouth.
Then, Gary, what? I think you need to be trying that Quip. I'm going to try
it. I'll give it a shot.
Brush heads automatically delivered on a dentist recommended schedule every 3 months for just $5. A friendly reminder when it's time for a refresh. Mm-hmm. Stay committed to oral health. That's why we love Quip here at Kinda Funny, and why over 1 million happy, healthy mouths do too. Quip starts at just $25. And if you go to getquip.com/games right now, you get your first refill pack for free. That's your first refill pack for free at getquip, getquip.com/games. Getquip.com/games. Have a happier mouth. This episode also brought to you by Hims. I am a tragic testimony to the reality that 66% of men lose their hair by the age of 35.
Me too. I'm losing it from the back.
Is it coming from the back?
Yeah, the crown.
Man, it was all at once for me. I mean, now all I've got
Did you used to have a lustrous head of hair?
Gary Whitta, I once had a GDC ponytail. All right.
Oh, shit.
I had flowing locks.
Oh, wow.
I had thick,
I can't even imagine what that would look
long,
like.
Long, soft. Well, I was also like 100 pounds lighter.
Okay.
But I looked good.
Yeah, I looked good with my hair.
And you
if
too.
Only you'd taken some of these pills.
Yeah, if only I'd have known about 4hymns.com back then, or if it existed at that
if
point
it had
in history.
Existed, yeah, you were born too soon. That's your problem.
It's a one-stop shop for hair loss, skin care, sexual wellness for men. It connects you with real doctors and medical-grade solutions to treat hair loss. Hims provides well-known generic equivalents to brand-name prescriptions to help you keep your hair with no waiting room, no awkward in-person doctor visits. You can save hours. Go into 4hymns.com. Both Nick and Andy use it. And love it. Andy keeps getting hair loss gummies. Nick keeps stealing them. I don't recommend that. You shouldn't steal other
gummies.
People's medicine.
What an age we live in.
We do live in a magical time. It's kind of spectacular.
It's wonderful.
Yep. So you can order now. Our listeners get a free trial month of Hims for just... Our listeners get a trial month of Hims for just $5 today. Right now, while supplies last. So that's a trial month of Hims for $5 today. Right now, while supplies last. You can see the website for full details. This would cost hundreds if you went to the doctor or the pharmacy. Go to 4hims.com/gamesdaily. That's forhims.com/gamesdaily. 4hims.com/gamesdaily. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to remind you that if you want to be part of the show, if you want to send in reader mail like these folks here did, join us at patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. And at the bronze tier membership, you can be a part of what's going on here today, just like Warm Ice is. When Warm Ice asks, with PS5 and Xbox 2 on the way, are there any cool features that we have now that that we don't have now that you're hoping next-gen consoles will have, excluding crossplay? Gary, what do you want from the next generation of console hardware?
Well, I don't care that he says excluding crossplay. I'm going to say it anyway. I do want crossplay. I do want it. You don't get to exclude anything. Why is
you care?
Why is Andy crawling on all fours?
Crawl, minion, crawl, crawl before us. That's right, Andy.
That was
grovel
good.
Before my feet.
That was good. That was good.
I like that a lot. Can Barrett do that now? Barrett, will you come crawl?
No.
Crawl for me, Barrett.
12 minutes.
Crawl
no
for me, Barrett. Crawl for
crawl.
Me.
12 minutes.
I need you to crawl.
I don't know. What,
Tiger.
I'm going to throw it back to you, Joe, because I don't have any great ideas. I would actually like to see Xbox get into the VR space and compete with PlayStation a little bit.
Oh, really?
I don't think they'll ever do Xbox VR.
No? Yeah. What if Xbox Next is just a HoloLens? Do you strap to your head?
I mean, I think they ended up... Didn't they just end up selling all of that to the army to train people how to kill each other?
I never heard that.
Yeah, the HoloLens did a massive, massive... contract with the military. They sold all their HoloLens equipment to the army.
I was not aware of that.
Oh, yeah.
What I'd like to see, all kidding and joking aside, is I remain firmly committed to the idea that there's an important place for physical media in the history of gaming, and it's going to always have a certain preservationist role in what we do. But I would like to see the advent of seamless streaming services that also take our history into account. So I'd like to see new games available on streaming, and I'd like to see that opportunity used to make sure that as broad a library as possible is contextually available to people so that we don't lose our history. That's something I'd really care about. Not just backward compatibility like Xbox has done this generation,
right,
but taking it a step farther and finding ways to archive these things on streaming.
Do you think we would ever see an Xbox or a PlayStation that doesn't have a physical drive in it?
Yes.
That could be... In this next generation, do you think we can see it with the PS5?
I think that the...
Or the Xbox One,
I think
one,
that
two,
if
whatever
only
the hell they're going
to
call it.
Selling to people in cities, yes. How about this? I don't think at launch, but I think it's possible that 3 or 4 years later we might. Yeah.
What if it was an option that was like $50 cheaper?
Yeah, maybe.
I would probably go with that.
I think a lot of people would, and I think they know that.
Bigger hard drive, no optical drive.
Yeah. Maybe. And then again, a streaming backbone to support it.
That's the one I would get.
Microsoft may actually be able to pull off.
Yeah.
So that's the interesting part. From Elijah Miller, hello, gentlemen. I wanted to know your thoughts on the bet yesterday on Kind of Funny Games Daily, where Andrea said the PS4 total sales will not surpass the huge milestone the PS2 set at 150 million units sold. What do you guys think? Love you guys. Thanks for all your hard work.
Well, what are they at now?
They are at 90-something.
I think it's possible they could still do it. I mean, there's not, there's potentially not a ton of left time left in this. What do you think we've got left? 2 years before we see the PS5?
At the most.
But don't forget, the PS2 continued long into the PS3 and even into a little bit of the PS4 era. People were playing, they were still shipping, you know, FIFA and Madden and some of the major games for PS2 long after the hardware was discontinued. And so the shelf, I think that, I don't know how many like hardware units they'll get to eventually, but I think what we'll see is, and these will get counted, we'll see a slim, at some point, a slimmed down, cheaper, like a $199 or even like a $99 PS4 will be available at some point in the future. And I think off the back of that, I think there's a very good chance that you get to 150 million.
A lot of console sales happen very late in the life cycle because analysts don't like to talk about this because it doesn't impress stockholders. But the fact is a lot of people don't want to purchase a console until it reaches a very low price point because they don't have the money to purchase it at a higher one.
That's exactly right.
And a huge volume of sales of practically every console ever have come late in the life cycle when there's a huge library of games and the cost of the hardware is cheaper. Yeah, I think the PS2 was an aberration because it had such a long lifespan
where it
was relevant. But if I'm gonna say lifetime, you know what? I'm going to say lifetime, yes.
Here's a question for you. What was the cheapest price point at which Sony officially sold the PS2 before it was done?
I don't know. I remember seeing them for $100.
I wonder if, but I mean, you might see them used, but I don't know if Sony ever released a $99 PlayStation 2.
I can't remember.
Maybe someone in your wrong can tell us.
Maybe they can. Baby PlayStation Slim.
Yeah, the little bitty thing. I had one of those once.
I vaguely remember that being 150 at one point.
Yeah, I think the ones I saw were those that were marked down to clearance. So because they were in
people
stores.
People in the chat are saying $99.
Yeah, so there were $99 ones. Yeah.
So at some point in the future, I think you will see a PlayStation 4 right now is what, $299?
Well, you can buy one for less than that now if you're not buying a Pro.
Like the PS4 Slim is probably around $250.
Yeah.
So I think we'll see it go under the $199 barrier.
Oh yeah, I think it's possible that since PTC Tech kind of builds on itself, it'll continue to get lower and lower. Yeah,
as you rightly said, Jared, every time you drop that below a certain kind of psychological price point, like it's a one, the first number is a one and not a two.
Yeah,
more people buying. Okay, now I'll get one.
Now I'll get one.
And it's a totally and there's no, it's way smarter in many ways than buying the system at launch. You pay when you buy at launch. Yes, you get to be in on the game first, but you're paying the most money for the least mature platform.
Yeah.
The firmware's not mature. The software library's not mature. Not right now would be, let's say they drop the price of the PlayStation 2 to $199.
Yeah.
That would be the best possible time to get in because you're getting the cheapest version of the platform, but the best version of it too because it's most mature firmware, most mature architecture, most mature hardware, most mature software library. Like this would be a great time to get in.
Kevin is actually pulsing the clock. Just hilarious. One final bit.
One final bit on that,
Gary Whitta.
Yes.
To add to that, another one of those dirty little secrets is those late cycle sales of the hardware. Like the fact that the used game market exists actually fuels that. You can go out several years later when there's an enormous library, buy super cheap hardware and buy super cheap used games or discounted digital games in this day and age. And again, that also can propel new hardware sales. And that's actually totally very good for the hardware manufacturer.
My prediction is you will see one more hardware revolution of the one more hardware revision of the PlayStation 4 at a cheaper price point before it's done. And I do believe that it will that by the time the PlayStation 4 life cycle is totally done, it will be at least in the ballpark of the PlayStation 2.
It's time to squad up. Today's squad up from Nintendo Switch is Twitter user at @ITSKIDSPENCE. It's Kids Pence. Hey there, kind of funny best friends. I'm looking for some people to come play with me on Switch Online. I just bought my Switch a couple months back. Now I'm ready to hop online with some friends. I only have Smash Brothers, Mario Kart, and Minecraft for online play. But don't worry, my collection will grow. If anyone's interested, my Twitter handle is It's Kids Pence. Thanks and love you guys. Now it's time for You're Wrong. Let's find out what we got wrong on today's episode. Where is reaching for.
I forgot all about You're Wrong. I thought we were going to be stretching at the end there.
No, I do not use my laptop for You're Wrong. Also, I don't know the passcode. Why is there still a passcode on this thing? What could possibly be hacked? On? Why is there a passcode on?
I don't know how to shut that off.
And it used to be right there. It's gone. It's just chaos. 4 minutes and 25 seconds remain.
Come on,
thank
Kevin.
You very much. All right,
4 minutes.
All right, let's see.
You could run a mile.
Opening
in 4 minutes.
Opening this up.
No,
where?
Well, I mean, I couldn't. But right. But it can. But it can be done. Right. There are people that can do it.
I don't know where this spreadsheet is.
Oh Lord, do you need me to come back?
Yeah, I need you to come back.
Just open Chrome. It's probably open.
It's not. I opened Chrome. It's not open.
Professionalism.
I know.
The order of the day. Here,
I expect a certain standard. Kevin, this morning, Kevin, I'm so glad you're here because nothing would ever get done. Thank you so much.
Do you think people listening to the podcast enjoy these moments of chaos?
I live and hope they do.
Well, I mean, I hope so too because there's no other option.
All right, what have we got here? According to Timmy Buddy, Bandersnatch is not the first Choose Your Own Adventure on Netflix. They have a few on the kids' side of things.
Yeah, there's a few Minecraft story mode, yeah.
Puss in Boats, and a few others. Hey, yeah. You know, I actually didn't know that.
Yeah.
Ignacio Rojas.
You can tell they're tagged with a little game controller icon.
That's how you can tell that
it's an interactive one.
That's really cool. That's what I get for not having kids. Ignacio Rojas says, according to networthpost.org, Gary's net worth is $1.1 million, and therefore Gary Whitta is
according
a millionaire.
According to what?
According to networthpost.org.
Yeah.
According to them, you're worth $1.1 million.
So I'm a millionaire?
That's what it says.
Nice. All right. News to me.
Wow. I've never been a millionaire. Man, I know a millionaire. Wow, Gary, I'm going to ask you for a loan.
A real bona fide millionaire.
Let's see. Yep, and several things about the Uplay store from Coolipic. The Uplay store does indeed sell games for other platforms. It does not sell games from other publishers like Origin, but they do have a store and a client. Yeah, I've seen the Uplay store before.
But they recognize that by putting the Division 2 on the Epic store, where millions of people are coming every day to play Fortnite, they're going to get a lot more traffic. Makes sense.
Let's see. This is from somebody's fixing something from yesterday. That's not something we said wrong today. By the way, and Ryan T from Tennessee says Gary 0.00004% of a billion is $4,000.
Hey, I had that right.
Nailed it.
But I just bought the Book of Eli, so you should get at least another 1/100,000
of a cent in royalties. Ticks up another notch.
There we go. That 1.1
probably got about 6 cents from that DVD.
$1 million in net worth.
It all adds up.
Man, you have a cool job. I'm jelly. You have talent and stuff.
Don't be.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us here at Kind of Funny Games
Daily.
Look at
this, 1:48. Yeah, the question is, can we stick the landing?
Can we? Yeah, we're going to stick the landing. We can do
you
this.
Think?
Gary, they, you know what? I've heard it said that a free bird cannot change. Someone said that once. You know, well, that
is that a famous lyric?
That is a famous lyric.
What's it from?
Free
Bird. Dylan? Oh, from Free Bird.
A free bird cannot change. It's a famous lyric from Free Bird.
The clue is in the question. I don't think I know Freebird. Would I know it if you played it?
Yes. Okay. If you don't know Freebird,
who's it by?
Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Oh, I would know it, I'm sure.
Yeah. Andy, you gonna come on here and play Freebird now?
I'm a Freebird.
There we go. Ladies and gentlemen, tomorrow's host is Andrea and Fran, followed up Friday by Andrea and myself. Thank you so much for 55 watching.
55 seconds.
And until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.
We did it.
All right, let's get all set.